Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. It is Monday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is your nightly confrontation with the facts, the little dust up we like to call Head On. Great to have you on board in wherever you're listening. Hope your holiday season's going well. It was we had a very nice evening. I'm flying solo tonight for a little while because Agnes is bringing the kids home from their elementary school Christmas pageant. Christmas would appear to be live and well, at least in Fayette County, West Virginia. Lots of Jesus Christmas carols, a little of the up on the rooftops, I ain't getting nothing for Christmas, a little jingle bell rock, but, you know, plenty of Jesus songs, too. So, no, there's apparently no assault on Christmas here. And, also noticed that it's alive and well on the pages of the Beckley Register Herald. Now, I don't know about you, but I found this incredibly offensive. There's a full-page ad for the local Hyundai dealer on the back of the Beckley newspaper. You know, a car dealership, all right? They're hustling Hyundais, and they got blurbs there about how, you know, the Hyundai is catching up with the Japanese automakers, and how it's ranked so high in the Powers, J.D. Powers and Associates Consumer Satisfaction Survey. Okay, no prob. But then, a full-color picture, oh, Jesus. In a car ad, full-color picture of Jesus, and it says, at, insert name of dealership here, we revere the real reason for Christmas. Please don't take the Christ out of Christmas. Buy car. And I just found that sickening on about six dozen levels. These nutcases are crawling out of the woodwork. We're watching the Dear Leader presidency in absolute abject freefall, and his followers and supporters are absolutely losing their minds. Another ad in the Charleston paper I noticed for some investment counselor character. And it says, are you making a killing in the stock market? You might be. You never know which companies in which you own stock are supporting abortion. Call me. I can give you Christ-centered investing. Christ-centered investing. Oh, I kind of wanted to scream. I still do, even just thinking about it. And then there was the ad I saw online the other day, Christ-centered debt relief. Huh? When do we get the Jesus toothpaste? These people are out of their tiny, demon-infested minds. That I didn't make any of that up. It really happened. But after all, this is Monday, and so we had a whole weekend's worth of babble. Dear Leader came out and gave his Saturday radio address live in a TV stand-up, too, and told us, heathens, to shut up about his spying on Americans and live with it And he will keep on doing it, and there's nothing we can do to stop him. Oh, yes, there he is. And it's beginning to get some legs. John Lewis, great congressman. A credit to the House of Representatives from Atlanta, has come out and called for the impeachment of George W. Bush. He told the Associated Press, he told a radio station in Atlanta, that if a bill of impeachment would be filed, he, John Lewis, would sign it. And we can talk about stained blue dresses and things like that, but my God, to hear dear leader talking about it's part of my constitutional oath to protect the American people. No, doofus. The only oath you took was to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that does not, no. No, not within your commander-in-chief function. No, you took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that's all. There was nothing in there about spying on people if you needed to. Not a word. And so, he came out today and had himself a little press conference. And there were Senator Russ Feingold made a stirring response to his press conference, Dear Leader's press conference today. We've got audio from all of that. We'll take a little listen, perhaps, to dear, kind of Sleazy Rice, as from her appearance yesterday morning on Meet the Press, where she got lobbed softballs by Tim Russert. Great guy, Tim. So we've got all of that coming your way. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
In this room where shadows live and ghosts that fail learn time for years. Welcome, friends, we stay. Our story starts with one small child who spends this night in attics dark, where dreams are stored like sleeping hearts. And so it's here that they must wait till someone wishes them awake. For somewhere on this night of nights, she's looking to.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for sticking around. Welcome back. Coming up on 18 minutes after the hour. I like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra so much more than Mannheim Steamroller. I lost a lot of respect for Mannheim Steamroller when I realized how thoroughly sleazed up they were with Flush Flimball. And yeah, if you you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas, and I hold it. I completely hold it against Mannheim Steamroller. Whose Christmas album I used to really enjoy, for being associated with Flush. That's fine. They could do that if they want to, but I don't have to listen to it. Let's go to the phones real quick. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
What's up?
How you doing?
All right. It's cold out there.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of the Mannheim Steamroller, I never cared for them that much, really, because they've become too commercialized. But the Windham Hill series, like the Winter Solstice and things like that, they have about four or five of those out.
That is one of my favorite albums, the Windham Hill Winter Solstice Sampler. That is just beautiful.
And I think this is part three. That's very beautiful. It's got lots of... I've been looking for that because on Wednesday night I will definitely play that.
Well, I went looking for that. That's interesting you should mention it, Jim. I went looking for that very disc at FYE in the mall the other day, at Crossroads Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find it.
This is the one that's got, like, the ice all over. It's kind of dark cover a little bit. You know, it shows lots of ice.
Yeah, I was looking for the first one because there's some just gorgeous stuff on there. There's a classical guitar rendition of Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring.
Exactly.
That's simply beautiful.
You've got it, my friend. You've got it. On less nobler things, as far as the impeachment of George W. Bush is concerned, it's going to take a new Congress to get him out of there.
Oh, I think that's clear.
He's safe till after the congressional election. If he keeps on screwing up and doing some of the stuff he's doing, there might be a chance of people wanting to get rid of him. But, I mean, you know, the guy came in there in 2000 dishonestly. In the last year's election, he was just as filthy and dirty as he possibly could be with those guys who testified against John Kerry, the Swift Boat people. And, you know, he'll do anything to stay in there. Unfortunately, the only thing that...
They don't give a damn about the United States. They don't give a hoot about the American people.
It's just about their own, just their own careers and their own how much they can
and power.
Power, how much they can milk the American people for.
Yeah, but you know what's terrifying? Assume for a moment that you get to impeach George Bush. Look who you get when you do.
Well, you know, there you go.
Big time Dick.
I can't say what I'd like to say, but I'll just leave that be. Yeah, big time Dick, big Dick Cheney. And, you know, I think he has fallen from grace to a certain extent. Now, why is he going to Iraq and Bush staying here?
Well, because Bush has to stay here and stomp out fires.
I don't think he's doing a real good job of it, because every time he gets, they told that man, the best thing you can do is to go to Camp David and disappear until this blows over.
Right.
But every time he's on the air, and, each time he just gets, it's like a tar baby. He just gets himself more involved in the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And, what a genuine boob he is, Jim. Did you catch the speech? And did you catch the reference to NASA is studying this?
You know, Bob, I just don't bother to watch you anymore because, why should he cause me to exceed my daily dosage of enalapril?
Well, I can understand that completely.
You know, he's not worth getting your blood pressure up. And every time I see that man or anything relating to him, I switch the channel because I know what he is, and there's nothing he's going to say that's going to change my mind about what kind of man he is, what kind of man he has been, and will always be.
Well, that's
I don't know anything about his. Some guy said the other night that he may be a victim of fetal alcohol syndrome. I don't know about that. I don't think that's the case. I think all the alcohol he probably ingested himself. I don't think his mother's a lush, but he's just not in all fairness to everybody, in my opinion, and that's all I can say, he's just not the right man for this job. He never has been, he never will be, and he just does not have the intelligence or the capability to be president of the United States.
Well, I tend to agree. What he said in the...
I'm not trying to be personally hateful towards him or anything. I don't wish the man any harm. I don't. I just wish that he would realize that and just go back to Crawford, Texas, and stay there or wherever he wants to go.
Well, that'd be fine by me, too.
If he wants to go live over there near where they have one of those tsunamis, I wouldn't be unhappy about that either.
Wouldn't bother me in the least.
Honestly and truly, that guy, I have seen his rat face for so long, it just makes me sick.
Well, it just blew me away. It blew me away today when he said he was talking about all the electronic spying, and he said that NASA was studying it. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration. That doofus, Jim, that hopeless doofus, equates NASA with the National Security Agency. What does that tell you?
Well, he was probably talking about the spy satellites they put up there. And, they use those satellites to just basically, they're conduits of information. I guess maybe that's what he was talking about. Or maybe he doesn't know the difference between the National Security Administration.
That was the way I took it.
And the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. But he probably was referring to the satellite systems that we have that, they've got satellites up there that can take a picture of you. If you've got a pack of cigarettes in your pocket, you can tell what brand it is.
Yeah, they can read license plates, cigarette packs.
Everything. It's just incredible. With good wishes for all and malice toward none, I just wish that his term was over, and I wish that a term of at least a third or half of the Congress would be over, because let's face it, he hadn't done this by himself.
Oh, no. He's had help.
I would love to place everything at his front door, but in all fairness to him, I can't blame him totally. It's these damn congressmen who go along with this stuff that he puts out.
Well, Senator Harry Reid said today that this is the most corrupt Congress in practically all of American history, and I tend to agree with him.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It is real bad, as a matter of fact.
Look at the roots and branches of the Jack Abramoff scandal spreading out. How many congressmen are under investigation now?
I don't know, but I can tell you this, my friend. I don't know what percentage of it was, but CNN had it about a year ago. But a lot of these people who are sitting up there in the Senate and the House, I guess the House particularly, cannot get a credit card in their own name.
No. They're
their credit is so bad they can't get a Visa or a MasterCard. Now, that's something, isn't it?
Especially when you've got all those companies out there that are, preying on people with bad credit.
And they're passing the bankruptcy bills to make, it easier to sue people who have medical, catastrophes, 80%. of the people who filed for bankruptcy since 1981 did so because of a medical catastrophe. But, I mean, they went ahead and passed that bankruptcy bill. They went ahead and allowed those people to put through H.R. 1 by hook or crook and by force. And, you know, really, they put a gun to a guy's head. I mean, you know, you talk about organized crime. I hate to say it, but I think there's a lot of organized crime right inside the Capitol building.
You could just about RICO the entire Republican Congress and a handful of Democrats, too. But there are some good ones. Russ Feingold was looking very presidential today.
Well, I hope there'll be somebody soon. And this man, I just wish that he would just shut his mouth and just realize that he's making a fool of himself and a fool of the country. And, you know, he's had his two terms. How history will treat him, well, it won't treat him very kindly, I'm afraid. If I had the pen in my hand writing the history of his presidency, it would be the truth, but it would not be a very glowing account of what he's done for the world.
How could it be? I mean, it's been a disaster from start to finish.
I would just love to see what Doris Kearns Goodwin or Michael Beschloss will do with the Bush presidency.
Oh, wouldn't you?
But anyway, I wish you and all of y'all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I hope that 2006 will see a return to some modicum of decency in our Congress. If not, they need to be removed. I mean, people have been saying they want these guys to stay up there if it's come back and be replaced. Well, that's good. But they need to have somebody with the decency and integrity.
Hear, hear, Jim. Thanks very much, and you have a happy holiday season, too. Take care. And we'll take a break when we come back. I wasn't kidding. Russ Feingold sounded very presidential today. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg. Sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately. Because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
just kind of makes you want to dance, doesn't it? Man. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Of course, you know that. And a quick reminder of the means by which... Well, you can take the Latin student out of the class, but you can't... Well, you know. The means by which you contact this program, quite simple, really. The number 877-4, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. And the alternative number 304-658-3333. And finally, email bob@headonradio.com. And hey, and a shout-out to our friends over in the Tom Hartman chat room. I understand they may be listening to Tom since he's filling in for Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar over at Majority Report on Air America. That's okay. Hey, guys. Now, as I said, let's get to some of this sound right now. Let's start out, okay, let's work through this progressively. See, progressive. This is kind of a long clip, but none the same, it has its values. This is from a little news conference on Saturday morning that Dennis Kucinich, another very, very presidential Democrat, was involved in. And, you know, this is not rocket science. It doesn't take a whole lot to figure out that the Bush administration was wrong. But interestingly, if you recall Friday night, I said I had, you know, of course it's disgusting to find out that the President of the United States is peeing on the Constitution, spying on American citizens. That's bad enough. But Kucinich caught the same thing that I caught on Friday night. There's a little, the New York Times has a little bit of, culpability in this, too.
More than three decades ago, a president got in a whole lot of trouble.
Tell it, Dennis.
When he determined that his administration had the right to spy on American citizens.
Amen.
Whatever our political perspective, there's something that we understand that it means to be an American. And that is, we don't have government, like, looking over our shoulder everywhere or trying to, you know, see what we're doing or listening into our phone calls. See, that's not the way, that's not what America's about.
No.
So I think this revelation from the New York Times article yesterday raises some very serious questions about what, and it's going to cause all Americans to review, what are freedoms here? What levels of freedoms do we have? Do people have a reasonable expectation that when they make a phone call, or make a transaction, or read a library book, or go to a meeting, that they're not going to be spied on by the government? I mean,
interesting.
So,
interesting,
you know,
he mentioned a library
exception
book.
To what happened. I also want to add this, too.
Yeah, here it comes.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
New York Times?
Uh-huh.
New York Times had this story for a year,
yeah,
at least. And they just, oh, well, we can't, you know, all the news that's fit to print? Excuse me. Who makes that decision?
Really?
You know, not taking it out on anybody here from the media. You have as much diversity in the media as there is in the Congress of the United States. But you know what? The Times had a responsibility. And it appears that they haven't been up to their to the gray lady's great reputation. They needed to be there to protect this country as well. And they failed. And so this administration has, as once said, Lucy, you got a lot of splaining to do.
Oh, yes, you do, Lucy. Georgie, you got a lot of explaining to do. New York Times, yeah, that too. The mention he made of people checking out a library book. This is Bush's. This is Bushmerica. Okay, with 3 K's. A story out of New Bedford, Massachusetts. A senior at UMass Dartmouth. Now that that's an institution of higher learning. I mean, we're not talking about some junior high kid, okay? A senior at UMass Dartmouth was visited by federal agents 2 months ago after, wait for it, after he requested a copy of Mao Zedong's tome on communism called The Little Red Book. You got that? He got a shakedown from the Department of Homeland Security for requesting a library book, namely Mao's Little Red Book. Let that settle in. This isn't some. Do you remember? I had a clip the other day. Some god awful Republican saying, "Oh, there's never been a documented case of abuse under the Patriot Act." Thank you, Senator Gump. Oh yes, there has. Here's one. Two history professors at UMass Dartmouth, Brian Glenn Williams and Robert Pontbriand, said the student told them he requested the book through the UMass Dartmouth Library's interlibrary loan program. The student, who was completing a research paper on communism for Professor Pontbriand's class on fascism and totalitarianism, filled out a form for the request. Welcome to the library in America. Filled out a form for the request. It required his name, his address, his phone number, wait for it, and his social security number. And he got a visit at his parents' home in New Bedford by two agents of the Department of Homeland Security. The young man was told by the agents that the book is on a watch list, and that his background, which included significant time abroad, triggered them to investigate the student further. Great God Almighty. We tried to warn people. We tried. Jesus, God in heaven, we tried to warn people. We said that these were fascistic, totalitarian killers. Oh, Bob, you just don't love America enough. Oh! I tell my students to go to the direct source, says the professor, so he asked for the official Peking version of the book. Apparently, the Department of Homeland Security is monitoring interlibrary loans, because that's what triggered the visit, as I understand it. Do you understand this? This guy got a shakedown from the Department of Homeland Security because he wanted to read a book. Screw 1984, welcome to Fahrenheit 451. Kind of makes you want to go out and do an interlibrary loan for Mao Zedong's little red book, doesn't it? Let's all do that. What do you say? How about it, honey? You up for going and getting Mao Zedong's little red book?
Well, I want to know if the fuzzy worm's on the book, because it was in 9/11.
Huh?
Wasn't it the fuzzy worm?
No, my pet goat.
My pet goat. Oh, I'm sorry. My pet goat. Shouldn't that be on the watch list?
Yeah, and I'd like to, won't tell you what the watch list is. Won't tell you.
Wait, now, doesn't this book come from the same people who dressed him in that funny little outfit with the polka dots all over it?
I remember it well.
Okay, so this is on the watch list, so does that mean that they're also the enemies of our enemies, which makes them our friends?
Who freaking knows, honey? Who knows?
I don't know. It sounds like to me that they're doing LSD research once again.
Well, it makes you wonder. It really does make you wonder what's on there. Do you get checked out by the Department of Homeland Security for requesting the Grapes of Wrath? Commies! You know, that's got a whole bunch of socialism and stuff in it, because it's all about poor people getting screwed over and misery and whatnot. And, hey, here's one. Want to bet you get a Department of Homeland Security visit if you interlibrary loan the Anarchist Cookbook? Want to bet?
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, that's a dandy.
I mean, it's not like I've read it or anything, but I could just about imagine.
Oh, no, it's got some stuff in it. Or, I don't know, how about the Necronomicon? Now, I think that H.P. Lovecraft was the actual author on that. But any number of things.
Do they have a list out
mein
there?
Mein Kampf? Do you get the visit for Mein Kampf?
Well, I mean, do they have a list
yeah,
on
they
the
got
internet?
A list. No, they got a list, and they won't tell you what's on it. Because
it's kind of like Santa Claus.
This isn't, you know, this is... And God knows I sympathize with anyone who's been subject to it. You know, racial profiling is odious and hateful and nasty. This is intellectual profiling. Oh, well, he's reading Mao's little red book. I bet he wants to blow up a damn building. Let's go. Yeah.
Look, any man who says that the Constitution interferes, I don't have the exact quote here in front of me, but basically that the Constitution interferes with our lifestyle really worries me more than a book.
Well, check it out. The student told Professor Pombriand and Dr. Williams that the Homeland Security agents told him the book was on a watch list. They brought the book with them. They brought the book with them to him, but they didn't leave it with him. Dr. Williams said in his research he regularly contacts people in Afghanistan, Chechnya, and other Muslim hotspots and suspects that some of his calls are monitored. My instinct is that there is a lot more monitoring than we think, he said. Dr. Williams said he had been planning to offer a course on terrorism next semester, but he's reconsidering because it might put his students at risk. You get that? It might put his students at risk. Not from the terrorists, Sunshine. Oh, no, no, hell no, not from the terrorists, but from their own government. You remember how the wingnuts used to drive around on their rusty old pickup trucks with the bumper sticker on it back in the 90s, saying, I love my country, but I fear my government. Remember that? And they tore him off when Dear Leader got elected, because, you know, we can trust him. He's a good old boy. Fog spray. This man is a greater danger to freedom than anything that the United States has faced since Hitler blew his brains out. This man is a threat to freedom. And for him to wander around, I'm my constitutional authority to protect the Markham people from themselves and little red books and so forth.
No, what's scary is the way that it's bringing, the way it's being brought about is that he's taking liberties that he is an island unto himself. America doesn't matter.
He can. Well, there is a school of thought out there, dear, and it's amazing. There's a school of thought out there that says the president doesn't, and it's promulgated by sicko, freaking, ugly Republicans, that says the president it literally is above the law, that no law made by the other two branches of government can apply to the president. I'm not kidding. They actually believe that. I mean, and these are some of the same people. You know, it's like the fat Tony Scalia sitting there with his little piece of barbed wire around his leg like something out of the Da Vinci Code, you know, Opus Dei creep.
So,
he thinks the president is above the law.
Well, what happens? Are you telling me that these people that are gathering around him and supporting this isn't going to be worried about the elections? Because the American people will not tolerate this. They didn't tolerate it in World War One. They didn't tolerate it in World War Two.
Yeah, they kind of did, dear. There was something called the Alien and Sedition Act, I believe, in World War One. Thousands upon thousands of people put in prison. People hung by their thumbs. Yeah, it happened. It happened when they rounded up the Japanese in the Second World War. Sure, we'll tolerate it. You know, we tolerated the Vietnam War. They said, oh, yeah, the hippies ended the war. The American people sat there and tolerated the Vietnam War from what, 1962 to, you know, it really began to come unglued in what, 78 years of this massacre, murder, mayhem, and death and blood. And we sat there and watched it on TV and said, I hope we get to kill some more gooks today. You know.
How many years has it been now?
How many years has what been? The Iraq War, Afghanistan, what?
Our current war.
Well, that started in March 2003.
Okay.
So under the Vietnam paradigm, we got another 5 years to go.
So you don't think that a lot of people are going to look back and think about what's happened before, about their civil liberties being taken away from them, no privacy. You can't even go check out a library book. You know, what if your kid's doing research and all of a sudden...
Yeah, that's what this
these
kid
funny,
was...
Well, wait a minute. And these funny little guys show up and start looking at you like you're subversive. You're talking about mom and pop of America. Never did anything wrong. Never cheated on their taxes. I mean, I'm more worried about the Scooter Libbies who write nasty, filthy novels. I'm more worried about the Cheneys.
Well, sure.
Now, wait a minute. I'm more worried about the Cheneys who can write novels that seem to go against everything that this man purports to believe in. He literally sweeps aside his family. He's not even supportive of his own family. But yet the American people are going to go ahead and support these people?
Yeah.
For what reason?
Well, look at the numbers on the war. Okay, you started centering around the war. Most of the people, you know, have finally come to their senses and they realize this war was a terrible, terrible, horrible, god awful mistake. Right,
right. Yeah.
Okay. Guess what? Something on the order of 60-70% of the American people still okay. It was a terrible mistake, but we got to keep on making it. We can't just pull out of Iraq. We got to go on making the mistake. We got to have another couple or three or five or 10 or 50,000 dead Americans. God knows how many dead Iraqis. We got to keep on doing that. So yeah, the tolerance of the American people for just about anything is amazing. And you know what? They will tolerate it until it gets to the NIMBY state. You know, not in my backyard.
Well, no, you're wrong. Because what's going to happen is we may be our own country, but we are basically owned by other countries.
Well, sure.
And these people are going to end up getting really, really hot. And they're going to call in the debt, and we're going to hit a depression. You watch. You watch. Mark my words. All you have to do, if you're any kind, if you can read, look at the NASDAQ. Watch the numbers. It's going to hit.
The housing bubble's going to bust, and that's what I said. When it gets to the backyards of the people who have been too busy watching NASCAR and whatnot, when it gets to their backyards,
NASCAR people alone.
Then maybe something will happen. But we, as Americans, we have a profound ability to tolerate a whole bunch of garbage before we'll do anything about it. Now, let's see. I got some dear leader here. A little bit of his speech. I thought you might enjoy it. You know what? Why not? After all, you know, dinner's been over for a little while. Maybe you can probably stomach this.
My personal opinion is it was a shameful act.
Yeah, okay.
For someone to disclose this very important program in time of war.
You getting this?
The fact that we're discussing this program is helping the enemy.
You getting this? Because he's not. He still doesn't get it. He's mad at the person who leaked it. How much more Nixonian does it have to get? Don't forget, over there at our buddy Brad Friedman's site, bradblog.com, he's got a Nixon countdown clock. How much longer until George Bush just morphs into Richard Nixon once and for all? I'm back, you know. Because that's where it's going. You know, Nixon was mad about the people who caught the burglars, the Watergate burglars. He wasn't mad at the burglars. Well, hell, he was in on the ordering of it, so I get. They don't get it. This is how it is with fascism. Dear leader is angry. Dear leader is angry at the guy who leaked.
My personal opinion is it was a shameful act.
Get it? It was a shameful act. Telling on his nasty little program was a shameful act. Now, I got other issues with this, too, because over the weekend, one of the talking points that they sleazed out there was, well, we told some congressmen about it and made them pinky swear that they wouldn't say nothing about it. And Bob Graham was one of the ones, former senator from Florida, was one of the ones that they said they told. And he came out and said, it wasn't right like that. But I got a question. You know, we're here in a secure, undisclosed location in the hills of wild, wonderful West Virginia. And we got us a senator by the name of John D. Rockefeller the IV, Democrat, J. Rockefeller. You know, he's the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Now, I got a question. And I'm not bashing yet. But I want to know if Jay Rockefeller knew about this. He had to have. I can't imagine a circumstance in which he didn't. This thing has been reauthorized 36 times since 2001. And I want to know the names of every Democratic senator who was told about this and went along with it and appeased the Bush administration. I damned well want to know. You deserve to know. I deserve to know. And we deserve some answers for why these people sat on their hands and did nothing. Because, see, that's the thing that's going to be used to try to deflect criticism. Well, there was Democrats that knowed about it, and they didn't say nothing. Because one of the things Bob Graham said is, oh, I remember the briefing, he says. But he said, it's not like they asked my opinion. It's not like they said, you know, can I do it? You know, Dick Cheney came to him and said, we are, by God, going to do this, and you're going to like it. So we do, we have to know. We must know. We deserve to know. Because our ignorance will be the end of that Constitution that some of us still cherish. And that George, oh, think about that. You remember the story? Remember the story from Capitol Hill Blue? And, you know, you bring up Capitol Hill Blue somewhere over at, like, you know, Democratic Underground or something. And people are like, oh, God, no, you can't cite to that. That's just hearsay. They just make crap up. Remember the story from Capitol Hill Blue where they were complaining to him? Aides were, whatever, to Bush and saying that, you know, maybe this is unconstitutional, this stuff. What was his response? What was his response said to be from the story in Capitol Hill Blue? Quit throwing that GD Constitution up in my face. After all, it's just a GD piece of paper. Guess what? I think Capitol Hill Blue just got a little bit of credibility. Because only a man who thinks the Constitution is a GD piece of paper thinks that he can get away with spying on the American people. See? You see what I mean? Yes, dear.
Let me ask you something. You're sitting in your house at night and you're watching.
Sorry.
It's his turn.
I dude it with my little hammer.
You're sitting in your house at night with your family. You're all having a good time. And you see somebody looking in your window. Now what?
I'm going to go tire iron the SOB.
No, wait a minute.
I don't take kindly to people coming on my property without being invited.
Wait a minute. I'm making this as simplistic as possible. And you see somebody looking in your window. What are you going to do? Well, that's exactly what's happening to you.
Us.
Just in a different way. No, it's not about us. It's about you.
Yeah, it
you.
Is, honey. When it's about
we,
the people.
When I say you, I'm talking to the people who are listening. I'm talking about the people who are tuning in and listening. You or your neighbors or whomever. Maybe you're not being looked at, but maybe you are. And you don't even know it. And guys, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that has a lot of things that they don't want brought out.
Well said. We got to take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's for the new McGruff Comic Activity Book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. Games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, Scruff,
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time. You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victim's program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Don't
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 5.5 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Agnes is back at the controls. And I wanted to tell you a little something about some fun I had over the weekend. And it was fun. I pop in at Democratic Underground from time to time. And there was a thread that I think it said, warning, child abuse photos. Well, you know, that's like driving by a car wreck. You got to look. And knowing what the senses of humors are like at that place, I felt okay about it anyway. So, yeah, lo and behold, I open it up. It's a photograph of a couple of little boys dressed up like cowboys holding big signs at a political rally. It says W. Child abuse, get it? So, because I was feeling kind of sarcastic and whatnot, I typed in, you know, great big yellow W sign. I typed in, W is for wiretap. Can he say that? Wiretap? I thought you could. And another poster came along and said, ooh, that's cool. We should make T-shirts. And ran over, this enterprising poster did, to cafepress.com. Where the poster, he, she, don't know, you know, cyber, and posted and created this great looking T-shirt with a big red W and IRETAP in black, and underneath it says "One Nation Under Surveillance," which I thought was highly creative, and I was glad to be part of the creative process there. And now, if you go to cafepress.com/wiretap and you purchase one of those T-shirts, I get nothing out of it. But the proceeds will be given to worthy causes. So, yeah, be the first on your block to have one. They're really cool. Almost as cool as Bart Kopp's Worst President Ever posters. Now, those are the coolest, though. So, onward and upward. Now, as I told you, we've got a boatload of sound today, tonight, from Dear Leader. Let's go back to it. This again is from his news conference today. Did you notice how nervous he was? Now, last night he was practically doing the hand jive. He was waving his hand so much. And today you could hear his voice quaking.
The fact that we were following Osama bin Laden because he was using a certain type of telephone made it into the press as a result of a leak. And guess what happened? Osama bin Laden changed his behavior. He began to change how he communicated. We're at war.
Yeah, but with who, you boob? Did you notice that? Did you catch that? The fact that we was listening in on the telephone calls, they leaked it, and then Osama changed his behavior. Oh, God. You know, the man desperately needs to be impeached, but the thought of what you get, if you do, can you say President Cheney without everything in your stomach just violently trying to come heaving out? I can't do it. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on. Hey, Chris. Oh, works with that button, yes. There you are.
All righty. Carrie and I was watching that speech when he said that. Carrie looked at me and I looked at her. We cracked up. Saddam. Another time, instead of saying prostitute, he said prostitutes.
Did he really?
Yeah.
How did I miss that one?
It was so cool.
Now, see, you done made coffee come out Agnes's nose.
He did. Instead of saying prostitutes, he said prostitutes. So prostitutes and Saddam, he just wants to get laid. Come on.
You telling me Laura's not giving it up? I think I just made coffee come out your nose.
No, I'm not going to do it. I might write about it, but I won't do it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I understand.
No, Agnes, one thing you got to realize is it's not that you have to worry about what happens while you're sitting in your house. It's when you leave your house.
Amen, brother.
They can come in. They can do whatever they want. They
sneak and peek search.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't leave my house. They can't do anything because I'm here. And if they want me, they can only give me relief. You know, I'll gladly go. They can feed me Alpo and just leave me alone. Give me a book and I'm a happy girl.
Well, I don't hardly...
No, they just bring the book and show it to you, dear. Remember the article? They don't leave the book with you.
Well, you realize that Georgie's still upset because Daddy likes Bill Clinton better than he does him.
Yeah, I know. Gross, isn't it?
Well, see, the reason Barbara likes Clinton is he's a bigger womanizer than she is.
Oh, God.
Now, I did not say that. That was bad. Don't make me dump you.
Oh, come on.
Bad, bad. No lesbian.
Yeah, you got to kind of wonder, though, if maybe Babs has gone to see Brokeback Mountain yet.
You can't. If you can't attack the Big Blue Mountain, then who can?
The Quaker Oats lady?
Yeah.
Nah, now quit it. She looked, that portrait of her looks great on the dollar bill.
Yeah. She gets let's just say she gets a percentage.
Yeah, well, all Bushes get their cut. Hey, Chris, great talking to you, man. Y'all set for Christmas?
But I've got so much more.
Yeah, but we got to hit a break.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Okay, all right, I'll talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay, and let's see. Let's blow on into the break, come back, and we got so much stuff to listen to. It's just so much fun. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for hanging around. Hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. Now, let's get back to business. Dear Leader's little press conference today. This business of, it's the leaker's fault. Not my fault. It's the leaker's fault. I think it was a shameful act. Because... see, they leaked where Osama was making his... They leaked to where that phone booth was that he was using, and then he quit using that phone booth. What a load of hogwash. And it just continued.
Of course we use visors. But visors is for long-term monitoring. What is needed in order to protect the
Liar.
American people is the ability to move quickly
Liar.
To detect.
Pants on fire.
Having suggested this idea, I then obviously went to the question, is it legal to do so?
Having... Did you just hear that? This... He just admitted it was all his idea. It was strictly him. And having come up with this idea, I then asked, is it legal? Yeah, do it one more time. That's just too good.
Of course we use visors. But visors is for long-term monitoring. What is needed in order to protect the American people is the ability to move quickly to detect.
Mm-hmm.
Having suggested this idea, I then obviously went to the question, is it legal to do so?
Now, I'm just this little old pinhead, the talk radio dude in the wilds of West Virginia, but I know this much. I know that the FISA Act provides, one, it's been in place since about 1978. Two, it sets up a secret court and a secret judge. They rotate through, and you can go and get a wiretap order for a ham sandwich. 19,000 FISA wiretap orders have issued. Of all the times that the federal law enforcement has gone to that court for one of those orders, 19,000 have been granted. Five. F-I-V-E, five. Not 5,000, not 500. Five. You know, the little things on the end of your hand. One, two, three. Yep, five. Five times since 1978 out of 19,005. That court has said, no, you can't do this. Now, meanwhile, but, you know, FISA is for long-term surveillance. I come back to this theme that I've been banging on for a few days now. How damn stupid do they think, does the Bush administration think we are? Or, conversely, and, you know, it's up to you. I haven't sorted this out. How stupid are they? I mean, I'm coming to the conclusion these are some pretty damn dumb people. Really. But the point here is, and if I know it, they know it too. You have 72 hours. You can start a wiretap under FISA, okay? You can start a wiretap under FISA, and you can wiretap for 72 hours before you ever go to court. Now, what does that tell you? It tells me, well, first of all, you got to understand, FISA cannot necessarily be used to spy on American citizens. But if you're, you know, if you want foreign nationals, sure. If you want phone calls between, you know, New York and London or Paris or Jalalabad, whatever, you can start wiretapping those phone calls, and you don't even have to go to that super secret, double secret probation court. For 72 hours. That's 3 days. So, when he says that business about, well, yeah, sure, we use FISA, but FISA's no good for immediate. We gotta work fast. You can work fast with FISA. What it boils down to is that dirtbag wanted to spy on American citizens. Because, like I said before, he is more. Screw Osama, okay? He's more terrified of me. He's more terrified of you. He is a prince on a throne that is very, very wobbly, and he is terrified of his brother and sister citizens of the United States of America. He is a coward. And it is this. I despise these. Even the Democrats, this. You know, I am shocked. Thank you, Monsieur Renault. I am shocked to find out that the president was spying on Americans. No, you weren't. Don't you dare be such a hypocrite. This is what they do. This is how they are. And moreover, these are the actions of a coward. This is what a coward does. A coward operates in the dark. A coward operates in secret. A coward operates in the shadows. Because he isn't brave enough for straight-up confrontation. This is what a coward does. This is cowardly behavior. And he is fast transforming us into a coward nation. We got one more cut from George. Let's go with it.
I swore to uphold the laws.
Yeah.
Do I have the legal authority to do this?
No.
And the answer is absolutely.
Where? Cite it.
As I mentioned in my remarks, legal authority is derived from the Constitution, as well as the authorization of force by the United States Congress.
Oh, wait, no. No, no, no. The Constitution does not provide the power to wiretap. Hey, where are all these right-wing freak original constructionists now that dear leader's out there saying that the Constitution provides him authority to wiretap? Why, hell's bells. Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, those dudes, they never heard of a wiretap. Why, it's not in the Constitution. It can't be possible that there could be a constitutional argument made that says that this man has the power to do this by virtue of the Constitution. No, that doesn't work. Don't do that. Don't try it. I hate a prevaricator. And to say that, when the Congress give me, remember when they seen the same intelligence that I saw and they decided to go to war, they voted to let me go to war. Well, see, that was contained in there, too. Bet you didn't know that. No, it wasn't, you daggum liar. Quit it. Yes, dear.
Well, the question I have is, if he can spy on Americans, then why did all of his paperwork disappear and most of everything is transcribed?
Because he's a coward.
Well, no, I mean...
No, really.
Look at Karl Rove and all of these guys. If they have a right to know what we're doing, don't we have a right to know what they're doing and look
no,
at what they make?
No, they're better than us. They're better than us.
It's like this blind trust deal.
Look, Carl scrubbed his driver's license record in Texas so that the DUI wouldn't show up on it. Alberto Gonzalez was part and parcel of that. And then the Saturday radio address, dear, he makes it, and you heard it with me, he makes this statement, this was all vetted by White House counsel. And that, it took me a minute because I'm a little slow. It took White House counsel. Why do I want to start laughing? Oh my God, he's telling him that Harriet, best president ever. Myers cleared him to do this. Harriet, what would you think if I was to start spying on every American's phone calls? Oh, you're just the best president I've ever heard of. Oh, I think you should do it, Mr. President. Oh, God, I love you.
Is she really a lawyer?
Well, she's really got a law degree, and she's really passed a bar somewhere. Yeah,
what bar? Sam's Bar and Grill?
Yeah, Joe's, whatever. But no, I mean, that's what... That's who vetted this. Oh, some of the best legal minds told me this was completely legal. Harriet Myers. Oh, my God. Harriet Myers. It's the kind of stuff that just, it's like a cattle prod sometimes when you realize what they really mean. When you start to thinking about, the fact that the Hart-Rudman report was shuffled off to FEMA. And that just dawned on me the other night, and that one made me scream. Brownie. Mike Brown. The Hart-Rudman report that said, we're going to get hit at an airport. We got terrible airport security. We're going to get hit. That was passed over to Brownie. So it's about 27 past the hour. We need to knock off. Coming up, your nightly dose of the Cup of Joe report with our pal Joe Vecchio. Stick around. This is Head On.
Found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg. sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. In his radio address over the weekend, Mr. Bush not only admitted to breaking the law by authorizing government agencies to eavesdrop on citizens in secret and without a warrant, but angrily vowed to continue it, even though the very idea of it goes against everything America theoretically stands for. Of course, it's been pretty obvious for a long time that Mr. Bush and his allies have nothing but disdain for the democratic process. As far as these people are concerned, they are the only people in the world, or at least the only ones that matter. The Constitution to them is just another annoying obstacle to overcome. So what they're doing, while reprehensible, is at least understandable. My question is, what will it finally take to convince those supporters of Mr. Bush who aren't directly profiting from the events of the last 5 years that this administration is really a greater threat to their freedoms than all the Osamas and Saddam Husseins combined? There may be a method to all this madness, but it's still madness. It's madness to abuse power like this because it eventually backfires, and it's madness to continue to support people who do things like this because sooner or later they'll find an excuse to go after you, too. If you're a working person voting Republican, don't flatter yourself to think that you'll be part of the in crowd. You won't, you never will be, and the truth is, you're better off for it. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Hey, wow, we're halfway done with a Monday night, and it doesn't seem like it. Where does the time go? But it's awfully good to have you on board. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Agnes is at the controls. And wasn't that a fun little Christmas pageant tonight, dear? Yeah, the other button.
I know which button. I was looking at the computer screen, Goober. Yes, it was a wonderful Christmas pageant. I really enjoyed it.
I was kind of impressed. You know, little bitty kids learning Christmas carols in Russian and Spanish, and one of my favorite, Il est né le divin enfant, in French.
It was fantastic. It was something to be seen. Even the little tiny preschoolers.
Oh, they were cute.
Doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and one little boy in a tux. He was just the star of the show. He was just adorable.
I thought he was going to spontaneously combust, bless his little heart.
But it was really good. We have a wonderful school and a wonderful staff.
Yeah, no war on Christmas, I don't think. Yeah, what a load of hooey. On the other hand, like I said at the top of the show, however, when the Hyundai dealership is down to the point where they're putting pictures of Jesus in the full-page car ad saying, do the Christian thing, buy an automobile. Ooh! Poor fools. A little in memoriam, quickly. If you recall, or if you noticed, we lost someone this weekend. We lost Jack Anderson. Remember Jack Anderson? Jack Anderson, who was so loathed and detested and despised by the Nixon administration. I'm sorry, all these filthy Republicans run together for me. What am I going to do? So despised by the Nixon administration that they actually plotted to kill him. But died... I guess he had Alzheimer's. And how sad that was. Because Well, we could use a Jack Anderson or two. I guess the closest thing to a Jack Anderson now is maybe Seymour Hersh. And we need about 9 dozen more of him. And, you know, meanwhile, the Bush administration wants to find whoever it was that told people. Again, I want some questions answered by my senator. I want to know if Jay Rockefeller knew about this and sat on it and did nothing for lo these 4 years. Who are the traitorous SOBs who enabled and appeased and helped, accessory before, after, during the fact to treason? Who are they? And, I'm seeing some polling, 70-80% of Americans think that this was the wrong thing to do. They don't want to be spied on. And as we know, for God's sakes, they're shaking down college students writing term papers on communism for checking out Mao's Little Red Book. I say it, I keep saying it. Welcome to the national security state. Welcome to the corporatist America. And, there are people who, Bob, won't you please quit doing that? No. I'm not, and you know what? I'm not going to stop calling dogs dogs. I'm not going to quit calling cats cats. I'm not going to quit calling Agnes Agnes. Because they are what they are. And you know what? When your country is more terrified of you than they are of the people who want to harm us, welcome to totalitarianism. Just because the yoke hasn't tightened yet doesn't make it any less so. You understand that. Now, kind of Sleazy Rice showed up on Meet the Press. Wrong phone. Showed up on Meet the Press Sunday. And Tim Russert, he grilled her. My God, if only they'd been talking about a Democrat having sex, she would have gone away, and there wouldn't have been any skin left on her bones. He would have worn her out. But in this case, he asks her a hard question, she gives him a bug spray answer, and he moves on to the next question. Daggum. Listen to this. This is just sickening.
Before I get to Iraq, let me turn to the issue on the front page of all the papers, and that is the domestic spying, and refer you and our viewers to an article in Friday's New York Times to give us some context. Bush lets U.S. spy on callers without courts. Months after the September 11th attacks, President Bush secretly authorized the National Security Agency to eavesdrop on Americans and others inside the United States to search for evidence of terrorist activity without the court-approved warrants ordinarily required for domestic spying,
according
to government officials.
Real good.
Under a presidential order signed in 2002, the intelligence agency has monitored the international telephone calls and international email messages of hundreds, perhaps thousands of people inside the United States without warrants over the last 3 years in an effort to track down possible dirty numbers linked to Al-Qaeda, the official said. The previously undisclosed decision to permit some eavesdropping inside the country without court approval was a major shift in American intelligence gathering practices, particularly for the National Security Agency, whose mission is to spy on communications abroad. As a result, some officials familiar with the continuing operation have questioned whether the surveillance has stretched, if not crossed, constitutional limits on legal searches. This is really a sea change, said a former senior official who specializes in national security law. It's almost a mainstay of this country that the NSA only does foreign searches. The president yesterday confirmed that this operation was underway for the last several years. What is the legal authority? What is the constitutional authority for the president to eavesdrop on American citizens without getting court approval?
Tim, first of all, the president has authorized, and it's important to talk about what he's actually authorized. He's authorized the National Security Agency to collect information about the activities of a limited number of people with ties to Al-Qaeda, so that there is not a seam between the territory of the United States and the territory abroad.
Oh, it seems.
One of the most compelling outcomes of the 9/11 Commission was that a seam had developed. Our intelligence agencies looked out.
We can't have seams.
Our law enforcement agencies looked in.
We can't have a mine shaft gap.
Terrorists could exploit the seam between them. So the president is determined that he will have the ability to make certain that that seam is not there, that the communications between people, a limited number of people, with Al-Qaeda links here and conversations with terrorist activities outside will be understood so that we can detect and thereby prevent terrorist attacks. The president is acting under his constitutional authority, his statutory authority. I'm not a lawyer. The president has gone to great lengths to make certain that he is both living under his obligations to protect Americans from another attack, but also to protect their civil liberties. And that's why this program is very carefully controlled. It has to be reauthorized every 45 days. People are specially trained to participate in it. And it has been briefed to leadership of the Congress and including the leadership of the intelligence committees. So
see?
In a time when the war on terrorism is not just one in which people carry on.
God, I despise that woman. Including the leadership of the intelligence committees. Did you catch that? Somebody get that. Senator Rockefeller, what did you know and when did you know it? Daggum. Let's go to the phones. John's with us. Hey, John, good to hear from you.
Hey, man, how are you?
Doing good.
I just sit over here and it feels like some bizarre, I don't know, Asimov story. It's getting very surreal, you hear this. It's the doublespeak, the denial, the constitutional powers. What constitutional powers are they talking about?
You know, I went back and I read it. It's not a long read, John. I can't find it.
I've been just aghast over the last couple of days. Absolutely aghast. You know, the fact that he flat out said, you know, I just don't care what, you know, the Constitution says, and you can all be buggered. I mean, I was born about the time, you know, of Watergate, and I learned it all afterwards, but this just looks like the same kind of thing.
Well, it looked because it is.
It is.
I mean, you know, you can trust your lion eyes on this one, John. It is the same thing.
There seems to be, it's again, that power at all costs concept.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a wonderful conversation last week with Joe Vecchio, and he said, you know, if I could just have enough, if they would just tell us how much money it'll take for them all to go away, I would gladly go out and raise it if they would just leave when they got it. The problem is, it's not just the money, it's the power. These people are all junked up on it. It's like China white in their veins.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely is. It's a deadly addiction. It's an absolutely deadly addiction. I heard an interesting thing, and this might have been on Rachel Maddow's show, that they figured out for every Iraqi we've spent $20,000 cash. So someone said, you know, what if we just said we were going to send all the Iraqis to college for free? I think they would have gotten rid of Saddam then, and we could have missed the whole mess.
Well, look, they're getting. This is one of the things that amazes me. We're suggesting that they have nationalized health care. But it ain't good enough for us.
I'll go back and read Orwell again, because it'll just make me feel more at home if I have to come back to the States at any time.
Well, start with Animal Farm, work your way through 1984.
I hope that nothing happens with, like, any family member of mine in the future, because I really, really fear coming back, because I've been out of the country for working on almost 10 years.
Well, John, you're out there every Saturday night getting all subversive and subvert-latin' on Fourth Estate Radio. My God, you're on a list, brother.
Yeah, we were marching in Sydney this week, too, which was really great. We had the rest of Sydney come out to march and say that we're not a whole bunch of racist rat bags.
Yeah, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing.
Yeah, and there's a huge petition that's getting thousands of signatures for the right-wing radio station that helped to brew the whole thing up to have their license pulled.
And by the whole thing,
we mean
the Cronulla riots.
Yeah, the Cronulla riots. I'm very, very sorry. We've had terrible, terrible riots. But in response, the community has come out and really, really worked with their own people to say, look, we're just not going to stand for this.
You know, but,
we'll not stand for it.
But you've got people down there just like what we've got up here. The same dude that stood there with his Cardinals shirt on, the famous photo of him holding that sign that says, "Get a clue, morons." I saw that dude in some of the riot footage poking his face in front of the camera screaming, "Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy."
And that was what was so good about what we did this weekend, was to get out. And it happened organized in about 5 days, but we had probably 3,000 or more people down there. The papers reported it as hundreds. But we started a town hall, a few speeches, marched down to a park, and community leaders spoke about what they had been doing. Legendary old Aussie singer by the name of Jimmy Little came and spoke, which was really, really good. And it was a great day out. It was really healing for all of us that were so enraged by seeing this violence that just happened night after night after night. And it was even being organized via CB radios. On the second night, the white supremacists were jamming the police radios as they were trying to respond to things. It was one of the most organized things I have ever, ever seen. And some talkback radio gave the white supremacists a forum in which to just call up and call for Lebo bashing day, which has got to be one of the most horrendous things I've heard take place in recent memory.
Has it calmed down now?
It really has. The state police chief here has done an amazing job. They got right in the middle of it, but they were protecting and serving. And I think they did a lot to give the right message to both sides that it was about protecting the people, and we're going to figure out what happened later. And it was bigger than a police or a political action. And John Howard, our wondrous jack of a prime minister, refused to call it racist. Absolutely refused.
Oh God.
And he's lied about non-white people before. I mean, he lied about immigrants throwing their children overboard on boats trying to get into Australia, which was a flat-out lie, which he's still never taken back. And he said it when he knew it was wrong, right before an election, to brew up the anti-immigration hatred, which got him voted in. I think that was 2 election cycles ago.
I will never understand what it is about white people and why they so despise people that are a little darker than them. You've got it there. We've got the whole border debate taking place here. You've got Congressman Tom Tancredo from Colorado wanting to amend the Constitution to say that babies born in America are no longer Americans.
These are scary, scary, scary things. They're actually talking about similar things. You know, I'm still working on my citizenship here. You know, I'm supposed to be able to carry dual citizenship. And now they're speaking about that naturalized citizens may not any longer be 100% citizens. And we have right-wingers, you know, whispering this kind of talk. And, you know, the hate-mongering by the right wing on this end has done a lot to fuel up what's gone on down here, and a lot of people blame our draconian anti-terror laws that just got passed for a lot of the reaction by the Lebanese community. And it wasn't even the Lebanese community, it ended up being turned against the entire Muslim community, and so the whole thing gets tied together.
What was the death toll?
The amazing thing is that there were no deaths. How is that?
That is amazing.
If you go to my other blog, 12thharmonic.com, there's even some video footage a few posts down where you see the New South Wales police put their bodies between the bashing crowds and a single guy just to get him out. And, you know, one guy down at the train station in Cronulla just using his baton and swinging it to keep a clear radius around him to protect, you know, these people that were just trying to be the actual Australian citizens that they are. And you have these people talking about trying to keep the beach for real Australians. I want to know which Aboriginal tribe one of those little white guys was from.
That's the truth.
I'm going on some witchery bush when I see you next time.
Yeah. Hey, John, it's always so good to hear from you.
Excellent, mate. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Bye now.
Our buddy John from Down Under. That's just so cool. Let's, yeah, we got to take a break now. And when we come back, I've been promising, yeah, Russ Feingold. Listen to what a guy who sounds presidential sounds like. This is Head On.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
And deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
McGruff the Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff Comic Activity Book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
Really, now if I want to go
jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas. But Representative,
it's just it, you know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why. And the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because, you know what? I mean, you know, if there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive 4thEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
Welcome back. Well, let's see, 5 minutes before the hour. A couple of quick announcements. Well, an email from our pal Sue on Big Coal River. She says, I'm sure I heard on CNN Friday or Saturday that Rockefeller knew about the wiretaps and had reservations about it. Oh, God, he had reservations. But the Four Seasons. Oh, dadgummit. Now, to be fair, I guess it puts a senator in a quandary. But it's not like when they were informed, that's all they were. They were informed. They weren't asked permission. The imperial president told the Senate that he was going to do it, and there was nothing they could do to stop it. My question is it patriotic to remain silent in such a circumstance? Is it? By the way, Agnes has her jingle sweater on tonight. That's the jingling you hear. Give us a jingle, dear. Got that? Okay, cool. What do you do? Okay, you be the senator. You be the congressman. They've just told you, the Bush administration has, that they're going to spy on Americans, and there's not a damn thing you can do to stop them. Now, do you sit on your hands and say, well, you know, yeah, they made me pinky swear not to tell, and I didn't have my fingers crossed, so, you know, I gotta keep the secret. And I don't want any of this hooey about how, well, you know, ordinary Americans don't understand how dangerous it is out there. Yeah, we do. And we've got pretty doggone good sense about what it all means. We understand, honest to God, we really do. But what we don't understand is why you participate in it when it's so obviously, odiously illegal. Don't give me this happy crap about, it's part of the Constitution. No, it's not. I was talking with John. I've read it. There's not a word in there about wiretapping. There are specific words, as we noted Friday night, there are specific words about when you can search and when you can seize. It's a sad little thing called the Fourth Amendment that's been dying a slow, painful, miserable death for years now. You know, the war on drugs, I forget who it was, I think perhaps it was our friend Jim in Santa Barbara that suggested that the war on drugs was really the first great death knell for the Fourth Amendment. If only we hadn't been so obsessed about a weed and a crystal and a poppy. But, well, I didn't, you didn't. A bunch of people voted for this. Hey, Bolsheviks. Are you happy with this? Hey, gun-loving NRA types, how do you feel about this? Militia people, happy with it? You're being spied on, sunshine. Because it's not just being used against brown-skinned people and disaffected Muslim youth between the ages of 22 and 34. No. It's being used on you, too. If it's being used on peace groups, it's being used on unpeaceful groups. And, you know, crazy me, I think you've got a right to be as unpeaceful as you want to until such time as you bring it to me, and then I got a right to resort to self-help myself. Okay? So, yeah, just chew on it a little bit. What do you do with a member of Congress who let this happen and knew about it and kept silent? What do you do? This is Head On, and I'm Bob.
We'll be right back. the screen. I'm so happy. I have so little time to spare now. I want it almost everywhere now. I make act like Casanova. Friends are always coming over. I sign my name as if I meant it. Seal it with a kiss and sent it. The letter had improved my mood. Happy in my solitude. But halfway home I changed my tune. And when I saw my lonely room, the mirror caught my eye. When I sit down I cry.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Brock.
Thanks for sticking around. A quick announcement. And a welcome and a shout out and a hello and a howdy do and all of that good stuff to folks listening to the program at radiopower.org. I'm just tickled pink to be there. Radio Power. The show runs in delay from the three o'clock to 6 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern time, mind you, at radiopower.org. So this show will run tomorrow afternoon. Great to have you guys on board. And feel free to contact me, Agnes, bob@headonradio.com, agnes@headonradio.com. Listen live if you get the yen, or listen later. You know, the archives are always there also at White Rose. So, you know, we make it as easy as humanly possible to pick this program up. And, again, I really do appreciate the fine efforts of Shelby at radiopower.org in picking up the program. Now, this is something I just ran across. It was updated 6:17 p.m. Eastern time, so it's fairly fresh. Reportage from Jonathan Alter of Newsweek, being reported at MSNBC.com. This phony baloney hooey that you heard earlier. Saddam, Osama, he quit using that payphone, and we was tracking him, and Jonathan Alter does a lovely job of pointing out the fact that it is hooey, but the guts of his reporting, and I'm quoting, on December 6th, Bush summoned Times publisher Arthur Sulzberger and executive editor Bill Keller to the Oval Office in a futile attempt to talk them out of running the story. The Times will not comment on the meeting, but one can only imagine the president's desperation. Now, I'm sure that if you tune in Flush or any of the other right-wing freaks, they'll say that he was desperate because he's trying to save Americans. My friends, this is nothing more than treason against the United States for the liberal New York Times to deliberately... you've heard the show. You know how it goes. Okay? But I ask you this, and you know the answer, so I suppose that would qualify this as a rhetorical question. If the program is legal and right as rain, why did George Bush go into the absolutely heat-seeking missile flop sweats and call Arthur Sulzberger to his office to demand that he not run the story? Why did he do that? You know the answer. Now, as I said, Russ Feingold, senator from Wisconsin, responded to Dear Leader's mad, raving babblings today with some pretty calm, cool, and presidential-sounding tough talk of his own. Let's check out Senator Feingold.
If he feels there has to be a change in that procedure, he should come to us and we should debate it. And I would add, he should cease doing anything else he might be doing that for which there's not legal authority that we don't know about. He is the president, not a king.
Really? Kind of cuts to the heart of the matter. He's a president, not a king. And he does. He owes... let's keep moving. Go to the next one.
It makes you wonder. One senator said to me on the floor, I wonder what else the New York Times is holding.
Oh, yes.
As a story. I mean, this really is something.
Yeah. I guess, you know, maybe we could torture Arthur Sulzberger. That's big. Make him divulge his secrets. But, Feingold asked the question, and so did Dennis Kucinich on Saturday. You already heard that. What was the New York Times thinking? What were they thinking? But also, Senator Feingold cut to the chase, whatever you want to call it, and pointed out the fact that, you know, if you've got an imperial presidency, there's just not a lot left to do in government.
I think the president continues to talk about Iraq so much because he's basically covering up for the fact that that wasn't the right next move in the fight against terrorism.
No, it wasn't. And I wrote down the wrong clip. Let's try again.
I don't know why the president is concerned about the Patriot Act when he apparently believes that he can just do all this stuff by himself anyway.
Ding, ding, ding.
Patriot Act is important. All of us want to reauthorize it. All of us believe it has to be reauthorized. But the president has stated a doctrine that he can just make up the law and create whatever other powers he wants on his own.
Yeah, it's magic. Just, you know, that's what you get with drug-addled thinking. I think there's actually a general psychiatric or psychological term for it. It's called magical thinking. When, things are going to be all right, just sort of, you know, by magic. You don't have to do anything to correct the situation, and things are just going to get better. And that's the kind of magical thinking that Bush is engaging in. You know, he doesn't need Congress. I don't need no stinking Congress.
First argument was that somehow we voted for this when we voted for the Afghanistan war, which I strongly supported.
You heard
Nobody
this.
Believes that changed the basic criminal and Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act laws relating to wiretaps. Then they say it's somehow the inherent power of the president, which of course would mean we could all go home now because apparently we don't have a role if the president can just make up these laws. And then they say, well, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act doesn't do the job. Well, that simply has not been demonstrated. That court virtually always gives a warrant. And if it's an urgent matter, as Senator Levin pointed out, they can start tapping right away for 72 hours, and they don't have to seek that warrant for 72 hours. There's every contingency provided for. The president does not have a leg to stand on legally.
All right, I understand that. So, Senator, if he doesn't have a leg to stand on legally, what do we do? What do we do? I'm not being facetious. I'm not being a smart aleck. But what do we do? We have caught the President of the United States trying to spy, not trying, succeeding, on American citizens. No warrant, no nothing. Is the abject violation of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, is that a high crime and misdemeanor within the meaning of the language that discusses impeachment in the Constitution of the United States? Or, on the other hand, is it just a GD piece of paper? That really is the dichotomy, isn't it? That's the choice. It's real and this is impeachable, or it's just a GD piece of paper like George Bush said. Now, I'm silly. I'm just a sentimental old fool like John Murtha, and I believe that the Constitution is real, it's alive, it is vibrant, and it is brilliantly written. and it provides for what it provides a mechanism by which you remove, you know, these, the guys who framed the Constitution understood that, you know, odds are you're gonna get a crazy one once in a while. And when you get one that is just batty, then there's a mechanism by which the House drafts it, and they do the bill of impeachment, and they vote, and they impeach him, and they try him in the Senate, and they throw his crazy ass out. It's there. But it's only there if the Constitution is real and not, in fact, a GD piece of paper. That's our choice, isn't it? Let's take a break.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
So you say there's a race of men in the trees. You're for
Welcome back. 19 past the hour, a Monday night, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid. Agnes is fading the music. And awfully glad to have you stopping by, sticking around. And, you know, feel free. Your thoughts are always welcome. And, you know, that's the neat, like I've said before, that's the neat thing about doing liberal talk radio. You talk to people who are as smart or smarter than the host. And it makes for some very scintillating conversation. Peter is with us. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. It's great to talk to you as usual.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And I'm glad you and Agnes and the family are feeling better. I tell you, this is not the time of year to get a cold and feel rotten. And
oh, you know, it just feels like a railroad spike in your head.
Does it? I wanted to. What prompted my call was your statement about the alcohol / drug use relationship to Bush's behavior. And I can't remember the exact psychological term that you used. I'd heard it before. What was it that you said?
Magical thinking?
Ah, yes, magical thinking. And, you know, alcoholics and recovery groups will tell you that, let's say if a person starts drinking and using when they're 18 years old and then waits and uses for years and years and stops when they're 55 years old, what you have is a 55-year-old person, but with the psychological and emotional maturity of an 18-year-old. At the time they started drinking, because you stop growing emotionally and you stop developing and you just, but you age physically. So, you know, I think Bush is exhibiting a lot of that. It's a worst case scenario. It's sort of a tsunami of, because you see, that's the whole Texas mentality too. You know, my way we do it, our way we do it, when we want to, we don't need your stinking permission. Then you've got George's stunted emotional maturity that feeds right into that. And he just didn't give a damn and went ahead, and they're going to do it their way, whether they could do it legally or not. They just don't give a damn.
You know, the thing that just makes me want to cry almost, Peter, I just saw some poll numbers. Apparently he's up to 47% now.
Oh, my Lord.
What for? Whatever for? Because he came out and said, well, yeah, Iraq's been kind of tough. I mean, my heavenly days. Did you see that thing last night?
Well, it was as convincing as old what's-his-name who wept on the television a few weeks ago when he got caught with his selling his house for...
Oh, yeah, Randy Duke Cunningham.
Yeah, Cunningham.
Our buddy.
People try to fade their names out as quickly as possible. I can't always call them. Yeah, and this whole monitoring the U.S. citizen, you know, you remember this whole carnivore thing that the FBI is operating, the carnivore system for email retrieval.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know, I've been reading a little bit about that, and the way that damn thing works, you're supposed to get a court order to monitor a certain person's email, and the FBI delivers the way it worked a couple of years ago. The FBI would show up at an internet service provider's head end with a court order to monitor someone's email address, and a little black box gets plugged into the network there. Now, this box is pre-configured and is not, in other words, the internet service provider can't log into it and see, in fact, what's being monitored. It just plugs in the network, and the ISP is supposed to trust the FBI that it's monitoring only one person's email, what have you. But the thing is, this thing is not locally administered. The internet service provider cannot control it. So once they leave the building, the FBI could easily send it a command to monitor anybody's email they chose to that was within that internet service provider's
sure
realm.
Yeah, yeah, it's the internet equivalent of Echelon.
Well, yeah. It's There are way too much remote control powers going on these days. And then Bush just, you know, I'm going to do it my way. It is impeachable. It's offensive to the nth degree.
If this isn't impeachable, Peter, we're done.
You know, I really want to know, what is the flow there? Well, how does that work? It looks like Roe's going. Bush has now committed another impeachable offense. Perhaps this one is big enough to actually get that ball rolling. But if Bush and Cheney and Roe, if they're all gone, what is the chain of command for taking over the White House until 2008? I have no clue how does it all work?
Well, but Cheney, I mean, you understand. It's all Cheney. It's always been Cheney. And what you get if you impeach him and throw him out, you get the guy being president who's been president for a while. who's always been president in this administration. That's the trick. Now, I mean, we've got Bush on board saying it was his idea. I don't know if that's cover, because I don't think the man is intelligent enough to. How intelligent do you have to be? I don't know, Peter. But what I want to. Nobody's asking Cheney about this yet. You wonder why Cheney's in Iraq?
Yeah, and I don't think he's intelligent enough to say nearly as much as he said already. This
has Cheney's handprints all over it. This is DARPA stuff. What was his name? Admiral Poindexter. This is the kind of stuff that those PNAC creeps come up with on a routine basis and see no problem with. So the trick for us, it's not going to be just enough to get George Bush's fingerprints all over it. We got to get a thumbprint or two from Dick Cheney, because if there ever is going to be an impeachment proceeding, it's got to be both against Bush and Cheney.
Well, I completely agree.
Then you get President Hastert.
Is that the way it works? I didn't know who would, if it was part of the White House staff or if it came out of Congress or where it went. So it goes to Hastert is where it would go.
Exactly. Exactly. President Hastert, because, you know, technically the vice president is the president of the Senate. So it goes president of the Senate, Speaker of the House.
Oh, my God. It gets filthier as you go down.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we're all sitting here gleefully, you know, rubbing, you know, like Montgomery Burns from the Simpsons. Excellent,
oh, yeah.
Excellent. And then you kind of look up and go, oh shoot.
Yeah.
You know, because you get rid of Bush, you get Cheney, you get rid of Bush and Cheney, you get Hastert.
They have a demon in every little box, don't they?
Yes, they do.
They just pop up everywhere. There's some little horrible creature you want to stomp with your shoe and spray with bug spray.
You know, but the nice thing about a President Hastert, I suppose you could just sort of wrap him across the knuckles and say, look, we're going to be watching for the next 2 years, okay, bozo?
Yeah.
Don't screw up. Be a caretaker president. Your name is now Gerald Ford.
Yeah, lame duck. Well, that would be probably... that would be survivable. It's not survivable as it is, but the rumbling that I'm hearing, I think this is going to be pretty huge, don't you?
It should be, but we're not going to know how huge, Peter, until such time as we start getting open commentary by the people who were silent, and by their silence were complicit in this for 4 years. I really, and I, you know, I'm a good Democrat. To the extent that I can be, but I really, really, really want to hear some extended explanations from people like Jay Rockefeller.
Yeah,
he had to know about this.
Yeah, absolutely. There's more to this than meets the eye. I guess the simplest version of it is that Bush just has the old Texas mentality of doing what he wants to do when he wants to do it. But you're right. There's got to be more to it than that. There are those who would have steered him not to do it unless there was an additional reason.
Well, I mean, the question that I keep coming to, Peter, is how long would the people who knew about this in Congress have remained silent had the New York Times not run it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, till the end of time.
Well, yeah, would it have just been picked up by the next president and carried over and contend, you know, we just turn into a police state and a spy state? And then, I mean, if you follow Roman history and stuff like that, the only thing we've really got left now is for George to bring a white horse into the Senate named Incitatus and make him a dadgum senator.
Oh, Lord, the pictures you paint. And they're all just got just enough truth, just enough credibility to scare the hell out of you. You're going to give me nightmares.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Peter. It's always good hearing from you, though.
You too, buddy.
You have a wonderful night.
Have
Thanks.
A great evening. Bye.
Bye. Well, you know, come to think of it, when you think about some members of the Senate, I mean, that we've already got the horse's rear end. Let's get the whole horse in there. I mean, you got Jeff Sessions, you got Rick Sanctum Sanctorum, you got Pat Roberts from Kansas, God knows, you got Trent Lott, you got Bill Frist, you know, and they're all of them just crazy. So, not a hell of a lot of difference, is there? This is Head On. I'm Bob.
champagne on ice. And she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't.
You know, sometimes you got to have a little interlude. Things happen. Let's see, 25 and a half minutes before the hour as we roll down toward the end of this Monday night edition. I kind of hate it when we go all single topic because there's so much stuff out there. By the way, a shout out and a hello to our new friend Sue in Wales. Got an email the other day, and it's great to have you on board. We appreciate you spending time with us. And no, it wasn't Jim in Santa Barbara. It was Jim in San Bernardino. Sorry, got some bad geography going on. But Jim emailed me about the New York Times and their complicity in this whole spying nightmare. And the New York Times, no surprise there. Good look at the unholy relationship between Viacom, the mega corporate owner of CBS, and the Bush administration's available in this month's Vanity Fair magazine. It's about how CBS capitulated to Bush on the Mary Mapes Dan Rather story about Bush's dodging of his Air National Guard duty. The proof was real, but the already shaky negotiations between Viacom and the FCC over new cable rules was the real impetus behind the canning of Dan Rather. It was also convenient to the Bushies as far as removing the hated liberal enemy from the anchor desk once and for all. Remember, Rather was at the Pentagon on 9/11 and said on tape that there was no evidence that I can see of a jumbo jet crash. Funny how Brokaw and Jennings are out of the primetime picture, too, but Capital Cities ABC and General Electric, Brokaw, have their own fish to fry in this new age era of Orwellian BS. Very, very well said, Jim, and I appreciate you taking time to share that with us. So, no, there's no shock in any of this. The New York Times did this for its own reasons, but they covered for arguably Scooter Libby in the Valerie Plame affair. And all that Judy Miller is a First Amendment heroine, yada, yada, yada. No. No, she wasn't. She was covering for someone who was violating the law. This isn't like covering, this isn't a matter of protecting your source when the source is blowing the whistle and, you know, pointing out the dirty government doings. This isn't that. Now, here's, it's localized, it's Utah, but, you know, is there a more conservative state in the Union than Utah? Here's how Utahns are responding to what's being called Snoopgate. Bush is spying. It turns out... this is from KSL-TV. A majority support the president's position. And a significant number of people in Utah, get this, believe that the government needs to spy on peace protesters. You got that? Yeah.
Where was the McVeigh boy from?
Michigan, Ohio, something like that?
I think so. And what was he?
Veteran of the Gulf War, domestic terrorist. What are you looking for, dear?
Well, what I'm digging at here is he definitely wasn't a peace protester.
No. We're the dangerous.
And I didn't see anybody wiretapping him or wondering why he was buying, you know, ungodly amounts of fertilizer.
Big garden.
And talk about killing babies. The child care center there.
Oh, yeah.
Wiped out entire families.
Absolutely.
Folks, those are the people that you need to worry about,
well,
not the peace protesters. There are a lot of kumbaya.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's what peace is about.
Sure. Now, in this survey in Utah, 52% of people asked said that the government should do surveillance on people who protest the Iraq war. 40% said no. Here's the people I want to sit down and have a chat with. 8% said they just didn't know. 8% of people said they just don't know. They don't know if it's right, praise Jesus, for the government to spy on American citizens. I don't know. Mabel, what do you think? You think government ought to be spying on peace protesters? Well, honey, I don't know. Mabel don't know neither. We don't know. God Almighty. I mean, does peyote grow in Utah? Is that what they did? I don't know. Look at the pretty colors. Can't worry about it. Woo, the walls are breathing. I don't know. I just got back from a mission, and I got three wives, and it's mighty big of me, and frankly, I ain't got time to worry about the people being spied. Wait a minute. They going to spy on my three wives? Nah, 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 nah. 8% just don't know. You know, those are the ones walking around with the headphones on, and if you listen to one side of it, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Take the headphones off and they drop dead. So, you know, spy on those filthy peace protesters. You know, they're dangerous. You know, people supporting the war? No, don't spy on them. Militia groups? No, don't spy on them. They don't mean you any harm, Ruby Ridge. So, I don't know. Let's go back to Russ Feingold. We got a little bit left of him. Listen to this very presidential man.
We will not tolerate a president who believes that he is the sole decision maker when it comes to the policies that this country should have in the war against terror and the policies we should have to protect the rights of completely innocent Americans.
We will not tolerate pretty strong medicine there, Russ. What do you mean, we will not tolerate? You gonna call him on the carpet? You gonna make him come and testify under oath in front of a Senate committee? Sunshine, Russ, buddy, you're not going to get to do that because the Republican majority won't allow that to happen. And we got to wait all the way till November to even have the dimmest, most remote chance of putting someone in power who can and will issue that subpoena. But, you know, look, you know how it goes. You know what's going to go down. I mean, I'm not trying to be a cynic, but, I mean, we're the reality crowd, remember? So, yeah, you issue a subpoena to George, and it goes to the Supreme Court, and they say, well, you know, we decided that Bill Clinton had to testify under oath while he was still president, but that was because he was Democrat. He was Bill Clinton, and for God's sakes, the man had oral sex.
How many other people on the Republican side did that end up taking down?
Oh, you mean like...
The blue dress ended up taking a lot of men... Well, let's put it this way.
What, Newt Gangrene, Livingston from Louisiana, that
their,
kind of
their
stuff?
Their Mercedes had license plates on them that said was his.
Well, I don't know. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you do subpoena George, he'll show up. He'll say, I'll show up, but only if I get to sit on Dick Cheney's lap. You know, don't talk about where Dick's hand goes. Don't do that. Oh, that's just gross.
I was making a puppet motion. I wasn't doing anything bad. He is just bad.
Oh. But that's how it'll be. You know, Condoleezza Rice. Son of a gun. No. Kind of sleazy Rice on Meet the Press, for God's sakes. Will you testify in Congress?
Well, Tim, I'm not a lawyer.
Did you notice that she was covering her butt because she was giving legal advice and she knows she's not a lawyer, so she had to state
but
she wasn't
on
a
television.
Lawyer?
Yeah.
Exactly, but she's Bush's
other
wife.
Of course, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Harriet told me all about it. You know, we're the women of Bush Co. Will you appear and testify? I'm not a lawyer. Did you know about it? Well, yes. I'm not going to discuss intelligence matters. Oh.
I don't think that's funny.
Uh-uh. So, you know, out in Utah, there's 8%. I don't know. What color is this guy? I don't know. And a new survey out. This is the odds and ends section of the program. More American women are having babies they didn't want, a survey indicates. This is from the Associated Press. U.S. women of childbearing age who were surveyed in 2002 revealed that 14% of their recent births were unwanted at the time of conception. That's up from 9% in 1995.
Well, we can't be having that birth control because, remember, that causes
silent abortions. Greetings, George Jetson. So, you know, is that a step forward?
Praise Jesus, says the pro-life movement. Women are bringing babies into the world that they hate. That's wonderful. God will bless them and bless them for that. Yay, Verley.
Ever had a chance to observe the life of a child who wasn't wanted or loved?
Yeah, we never did find out what happened to the people that put the babies in the cages.
Yeah, we're still waiting. That wasn't even a criminal case. The number of U.S. abortion providers fell steadily in the last decade from 2,400 in 1992 to 1,800 in 2000 because, you know, Republicans and right-wing nuts keep killing them. Reasons not clearly known, although increasing government restrictions of abortions have made it increasingly difficult to provide the procedure, unless, of course, your Healthcare Corporation of America, HCA, one of the largest purveyors of abortions in the country, and thereby an enricher of the Frist family. Nice people, those. Nice people. One of the questions was, right before you became pregnant, did you yourself want to have a baby at any time in the future? If they said no, the pregnancy was defined as unwanted. Federal researchers don't know if the survey reflects a societal shift in attitudes toward abortion. People have all kinds of attitudes that don't always reflect what they choose to do. We would never want to guess at people's attitudes based on their behavior. Oh, hell, I'll just have the kid. 18 years. Maybe I can put it up for adoption or something. And that's a win for the pro-lifers. Meantime, where's that other story? Where is it? Where is it? I've got it here. Guess what? People who are on Medicaid, come January 1, they may not be able to get their medicine. People on Medicaid, the severely ill, disabled people, you know, SSI types, that kind of... according to recent reports, January 1, they have to be switched over to one of the new Enrich the Drug Company's corporate welfare plans. Now, you know, this includes, you know, this isn't somebody who has to go and, you know, get a little thing of antibiotics for a case of the sniffles or something. These are the people, for instance, you know, in nursing homes, out of their minds, who can't make the choice, you know, they can't pick which healthcare provider thingy they want. Schizophrenics, is that term even used anymore? Alzheimer's patients, dementia patients. So, well, how about that? Isn't that just lovely? We'll just extend the whole Reagan theory of mainstreaming and let the crazy people wander the streets babbling aloud at themselves. Yeah, they'll just look like they're talking on hands-free cell phones. What the heck? Now remind me again, this is supposed to be a moral country. We're spending $20,000 per Iraqi, but we can't make sure that the weakest and the sickest and the most pathetic of us can just have the daggum medicine they need. We are really, really good at killing people. Taking care of them, not so much. Yeah, it's another one of those God bless America. It's another one of those God forgive America moments. Oh, and this. Oh, God, I have to share this with you. I'd almost forgotten about it. our buddy Gene Schmidt. Gene Schmidt, who called John Murtha a coward on the floor of the House. Never mind the bulk of the article. It's from the Cincinnati Inquirer. She says of herself... Oh, this is just amazing. She says of herself that as a result of her hateful speech on the floor of the House, I can hardly bear to tell you. For her few seconds of fame, reading here, for her few seconds of fame, Schmidt said she's received both praise and scorn. She got a round of applause at a recent closed-door meeting of House Republicans. Did you get that? Closed-door meeting. Round of applause for calling a 30-year Marine a coward. She's even gotten several marriage proposals.
I have. It's amazing. There have been 3 marriage proposals and lots of dates.
This is a quote. I'm not making this up.
They think I'm a hottie.
Gene Schmidt, hottie. Yeah, in that sort of Granny Clampett's a hottie kind of way. Go look at her. Look at the picture. Dressed up like. Oh, you know, from the House of. They think. I know. They think I'm a hottie. Whoa!
When you have to say you're a hottie, it's like internet dating. I'm 5'4" and I weigh 102 pounds and I'm blonde haired and blue eyed.
And you find out the blonde hair is above her lip, you know.
Is 6'8" and
962
and really, really old and just looking for a date.
With a mole on the end of her nose.
Okay. Now we're going to the phones.
Okay. Let's talk to Ed. Hey Ed, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. You?
Well, I'm probably as disgusted with everything as you are, but I wanted to comment on the veterans. You know, we've got one blabbermouth here from Fayetteville that's always talking about how good the VA is.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, Bush, at one point, said he was giving the veterans a raise for their benefits and so forth.
Right.
Of $200 million. And he turned around and took 2% 3 or 4 weeks later off of the total benefit package, which was $600 million. So we, in that process of numbers, we lost $400 million in coverage. And in addition to that, I got a notice in the mail, and I guess it was there was too much shame in it for them to put the increases on the prescriptions that they intended, but they still raised all of the prescriptions a dollar. And I had a doctor at the VA in Richmond tell me that our coverages wasn't going to be as good because they wasn't going to pay the doctors as much, and that the doctors, good doctors, would be leaving and going other places for the money, and that the coverage in general was not, they did not have the money to cover it. And to think, you know, I saw figures the other day where there was 2,155 people of our boys done been killed over there.
Right.
152,000 has been maimed or mentally ill and are coming back, then that our total budget right now would have to have that much more to cover what's going to take place with these guys coming back.
Yeah, our friend Bruce said a few nights ago, he works with Vietnam vets and folks like that, and he said there's about a five-year turnaround time before you see the real misery and hell bust loose on a war vet.
Yeah, and to think that they're spending the kind of money over there on the Iraqis where they caused the problem, and that we cannot even have our veterans covered is, you know, it is inhumane. It's a disgrace, and that filthy whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough words to describe him legally without getting yourself in the middle.
Right.
But that took, for him to call me a fellow American, him or any of that bunch of slobs that he's got up there with him, they don't need to call him. He's not a fellow American to me. He's a disgrace to anything that I stand for and anything that I told, that we were told was worth fighting for. He has an open door almost to go ahead and do these things. And I guarantee you, if this would have been Clinton, he would have been not just impeached, he'd have been run out of the White
House. Tarred, feathered, drawn and quartered, and his parts taken to the four corners of the country, and yeah.
Bob, I'll tell you, the book says be at peace with man as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I can do that is make sure that I never meet that guy. He is so disgusting and despicable. And to think there's a few vets still take up for that issue.
Not many. Even the active duty families disapprove of him in huge numbers.
Yeah. Well, I just can't believe that the people that are supporting him, like some of the other talk shows and so forth like that, how can they get on there knowing that well over 50% of the people in this nation is against him, and maybe more than that. It depends on where these polls are taken. If you get them taken in some of these redneck states that voted for him, like the Carolinas or that, then the his polls are going to show up. So I don't know how, I don't understand the polling system, but if you took it in Massachusetts or Vermont or somewhere like that, then the polls are going to be negative toward him.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on where you take him.
Yeah, but he's even got negative numbers. He's in negative polling even in Alabama.